Now, if it wasn't bad enough that we've had this economic catastrophe hitting us in the last few years, our weather seems to have really gone absolutely awful as well, not just recently, but last year and the year before. And certainly it makes for interesting reading, a book by Kieran Hickey. He's a geography lecturer at NUI Galway. He's written a book called Deluge, Ireland's Weather Disasters 2009 and 2010, and he's on the line now. Welcome to the programme, Kieran.
Thank you very much, Sean.
Right, now, it's a fascinating read, and there's loads and loads of detail for somebody who's scientifically minded. You've got all the facts and figures there, but it's also, I guess, it's a general read for general readers as well.
Absolutely. I mean, that was the target, really, audience, is the general public, to actually explain, try and help explain what was going on and why we should be thinking about it, and the weather changes that we're likely to experience into the future, and the long history of weather records we have for Ireland. There's a whole chapter in the book on cold spells going back to the first millennium BC, so
yeah.
Cold spells aren't new in Ireland by any stretch to the imagination.
That's right. We'll get on to that now in a minute, but there's lots of little anecdotes there that I liked reading about. But I mean, I suppose, first of all, why did you decide? I know you're a geographer, but what was the main motivation to write this book?
I think the scale and extent of the severity of the weather disasters that we experienced when we had between the flooding and the cold spell, and it had been about 30 years really since we had seen kind of weather disasters of that scale in Ireland. We've seen localised disasters, you can think of the Ringsend flooding in 2002 and various other parts of the country as well, but nothing on the scale and severity that we saw in the cold spell. And now to have another cold spell come on this winter as well, it's absolutely amazing.
And the combination of all of these was really extraordinary, wasn't
it? Absolutely, yes. I mean, you would have to go back a long time in history. In fact, I really didn't find any place, even in the last 1,000 years, where we have decent enough weather records for Ireland where you had that combination of flooding immediately followed by a major cold spell of the severity that we had last winter. So it really was an exceptional time period. And then you throw in all the other mad events that occurred as well at the same time.
Sure, the volcano, we'll get on to some of those.
Yes, but
if we take the flooding to begin with then, I mean, I thought the story of Cork was particularly interesting. That obviously Cork, as you outlined in the book, I mean, it's a city that's very prone to flooding and always has been.
Absolutely. It's really the New Orleans of Ireland, because effectively many parts of the central city or area are at or just ever so slightly above mean sea level, which means they're very vulnerable to tidal flooding, but also because it's on the lee as well, they're also flooding to river flooding. So Cork City, when it was originally, I suppose, built as a tiny early medieval city, it was defensive. They're using the water as a defensive strategy, and they reclaimed a whole series of marshy islands, which would be intertidal islands that we'd call them today.
Yeah,
and they reclaimed them and built the city up that way, but it still left them, of course, vulnerable to flooding as a result.
And do they have, like in New Orleans, what was it, these barriers, I forget the levees?
Yes, indeed, yeah. Not to the great extent that you see in New Orleans, because New Orleans is actually, most of the city is below sea level, so it's a much more significant problem, and you actually have to have a large series of pumping stations to keep the water out of the city itself, because obviously we know that water flows downhill in the right circumstances. But in Cork, they have lots of these defensive walls and barriers, but they're very much part of the medieval structure of the city, and unless you're actually looking for them, it's actually quite difficult to see many of them as well.
Sure, and in your book, which I liked, you got into some of the politics and some of the issues that were around it, and what I wasn't aware of was there was quite a serious problem in Cork in terms of the dam, the Inishkara Dam, that, you know, that it could have failed, and if it failed, I mean, that would have been extremely serious.
Oh, yes, indeed, yeah. I mean,
how close did they go to disaster there?
It's hard to know. It all depends on the quality of the dam structure itself. I mean, it's just that one of the few ways you can actually cause a dam to fail is to allow it to be overtopped. Now, in other countries, in other parts of the world, you have scenarios where dams have been overtopped and the actual dams have eroded from the top down and they've collapsed as a result.
And then you just have a huge wave that's going to come down.
You'd have a tsunami type wave of water coming down the valley itself, and you know, there have been past dam disasters where thousands and tens of thousands of people have been drowned.
Good God. So was there kind of a panic going on there with the authorities? I know another thing you mentioned is that there was no kind of central coordination between the different bodies, like DSB would normally not be in such a situation, and this probably created a lot of chaos.
Indeed, I mean, one of the things the book highlights really is the lack of coordination and the lack of ability to transfer rapid information about something like that. I think the DSB were caught on the hop reel. They were expecting a lot less rainfall in the catchment prior to the event taking place, and they had drawn down water levels at the dam in preparation for the extreme weather events that were coming their direction, but they didn't do it sufficiently, unfortunately, and this was the problem, as they really did get caught. But at one stage they were releasing over 600 cubic metres of water per second, which is a huge amount of water.
And was that water that caused the flooding then, was
indeed,
it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So it was the ESB really. That
they were taking in 800 at the time into the catchment, so they were really concerned of the dam being actually overtopped and collapsing as a result. So they had to release the water, but they got themselves into that situation in the first place.
Is Cork any better protected now than it was when that happened?
I think it is, because, I mean, one of the things that the ESB and the government has insisted on being done is that the management of the dam as regards flood control is obviously being currently re-evaluated, and obviously the criteria for when and by how much you reduce the water levels prior to a big rainfall event are obviously going to change substantially, and there's obviously going to have to be a much bigger margin of error occurring as a result of what happened in 2009. So that's going to be a big change. And it's the same for other dams around the country as well, including on the Partine Dam on the Shannon as well, and even if you think about Galway, think about the Waterworks Weir as well, which operates as an effective dam upstream of the city as well. So there is a real need to have a more integrated approach.
And how are we fixed in Dublin in terms of flood protection?
Well, you're not too bad, because the Liffey obviously is effectively canalised. It's no longer really a natural river system, because you've got the reservoirs in the Wicklow Mountains, you've got the various dams all the way down along the system. So it's very heavily controlled, and it operates effectively as a canal system rather than a wilder river system. So I wouldn't expect to be any major problems in the Dublin area, although you do have problems between Wicklow and the main dam upstream of the city itself.
Okay.
At Leixlip.
Now, in a sense, this was what was happening was kind of freakish, in that it ran counter, as I understood what you said in the book, to what we should be expecting from global warming.
Yes,
I mean, sorry, go ahead, yeah?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I mean, one of the things I always tell my students about global warming, of course, is that you cannot relate particular weather events or even weather disasters to global warming, because global warming is the long-term background trends that you can't actually perceive, or not really anecdotal, whereas the weather disasters tend to go, oh my God, we've had a big cold spell, so therefore global warming doesn't count. But in reality, Ireland is only a tiny fraction of 1% of the surface area of the Earth. So even if we got really cold, global warming still would not be negated, because it's a different scale. We're talking about a regional or local scale versus a global scale itself.
Right. Now, there's loads in the book. I'd recommend it. Unfortunately, we don't have time to go into everything. But one, you mentioned historical records of really strange weather.
Indeed.
And the monks, of course, the great Irish monks, recorded a lot of this.
Indeed.
And they talked about snow, tasting of wine, and blackened grass, reported back as far as, I think, 600 BC or so.
Yes, indeed. I mean,
so
there's a lot
that?
Of strange entries like that. I mean, and in the past, would have been dismissed as purely phantasmagorical, really. But the reality is that these kind of weird events, and there's even an event in 1248 when the snow takes the heels of and toes off the people who walk in it, and these are obviously volcanic ashes with high acidity levels. They're not actually snow at all. So what, in fact, is they're recording is records of explosive eruptions in Iceland going back even thousands of years ago, just like the one, the effect the Eyjafjallajökull lichen one had on Ireland more recently, even though there wasn't any particular big fallout. In these cases, there were fallout on Ireland, and there's been cases in the past where there have been fallout in Ireland as well.
Okay, well, if people want to find out more, they can certainly buy your book. It's called Deluge, Ireland's Weather Disasters, 2009-2010. It's Four Courts Press. I think it's $14.95, is that right?
That's correct.
Get it in most shops. And I certainly hope you're not going to be writing an updated issue at the end of this year.
Well, I think I'm going to have to, once the current issue runs out, I think there'll be a big pressure on me to put an additional chapter on the last cold spell.
Exactly.
Add to the story itself as it's going along.
That's right.
I hopefully won't be writing too many disaster books in Ireland.
Okay, Kieran, we'll keep in touch, and thanks for coming on today. That's Kieran Hickey, the author of Deluge, Ireland's Weather Disasters, 2009-2010.